Amen. Would you please turn to Job chapter 29? Job chapter 29. And Job talks about how things used to be. I grew up in the 1950s and 60s. Yes, that's me. As a child, things seemed to be rather simple. I could hop on my bicycle and ride all over town, sometimes being miles away from home. My parents didn't know where I was, but I was perfectly safe. The first car I remember my father driving was this car. Now, that's me on the left, and the other two are neighbor children, but that's a 1949 Studebaker. We would get our weekly bath on Saturday night, and after we were cleaned up, we weren't allowed to play. So we would sit on the front porch, and this is the best picture I could come up with. The brick house with the red roof and the two little steps, that's where I lived from the time I was 5 years old until I was 17. And those two little steps is where we would sit. Now, the house didn't look like that when we lived there. It was painted red, and the red paint was peeling off, and it didn't look that nice. But the two steps, it was two little concrete steps, and we would sit there on Saturday night, all cleaned up, so we wouldn't get dirty for church, and we would play games like we'd each pick, my two sisters and I, we would each pick a color of a car, and as the cars drove by, we would count how many of our color, and whoever had the most won. There weren't any prizes, you just won. That's how simple life was back in those days. And this picture really brings back memories of the good old days. It's a little bit older than my time, if you can see from the cars that are parked along there. But really, this street looked exactly like that when I was 12, 13, and 14 years old. This is the street I delivered newspapers on. We might say those were the good old days. Well, in chapter 29, Job thinks about the way things used to be and wishes he could go back to the good old days. He says in chapter 29, verse 1, "Moreover, Job continued his parable and said, 'Oh, that I were as in months past, as in the days when God preserved me.'" So it does not appear that his suffering has gone on for years, but months. And he reflects to the time before all of this started, months ago, and he said, "God preserved me." The word "preserved" here means that God watched over him, guarded him, and protected him from harm. Very different than the way it seems now to Job. And then he says in verse 3, "When his candle shined upon my head, and when by his light I walked through darkness." It appears that in those days, in Job's days, they would hang a lantern, a lamp, or a candle high in the room so that the light would disperse throughout. And he uses this as a metaphor for God's spiritual light. God's spiritual light assisted Job to walk through the dark passages of life. Now, I'm sure he didn't have Psalm 119, verse 101 yet, but maybe you recall that verse where it says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." In Psalm 43 in verse 3, Job said, "O send out thy light." Job didn't say this. Psalm 43 verse 3, David said, "O send out thy light and thy truth, let them lead me." In Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 23, Solomon said, "For the commandment is a lamp and the law is light." We don't know how much of the written word of God Job had at this point, if any, to tell you the truth. But Job was certainly aware of the truths being communicated by God's prophets, you know, starting with Adam. And that is what lighted his way, his path, and gave him wisdom. The wisdom that he used then to guide others, and we'll see some of that in a bit. So he reflects first on what it was like months ago, and then in verse 4 of chapter 29, he says, "As I was in the days of my youth, when the secret of God was upon my tabernacle." So he says, "Oh, that I were," in verse 2, "as in months past," and now he carries that through verse 4, "Oh, that I was in the days of my youth." And he refers to the secret of God upon his tabernacle. Now, Psalm 25 and verse 14, if you would look there, Psalm 25, verse 14, you have, "The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him." So another reference to the secret of the Lord. And as I have put on the screen, the word secret has a Strong's number. You see there, 05475. Then in Job 19 and verse 19, Job chapter 19, Job is speaking in chapter 19. Chapter 19, verse 19, Job refers to all my inward friends. And there's an interesting thing about that word inward. It has exactly the same Strong's number as the word secret. When he says in Job 29 and verse 4, "As I was in the days of my youth when the secret of God was upon my tabernacle," it appears to me that Job is referring to a very intimate relationship that he had with God. That he actually had a consciousness of God's presence. You know, in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit did not indwell believers permanently, but he would indwell believers on occasion. And it appears that with David, there were some long periods of time in David's life that the Holy Spirit was with him. It's very possible that this is what Job is referring to, a consciousness of the presence of God in his life and an intimate relationship that he had with him. So he says in verse 5, following up from verse 4, "When the secret of God was upon my tabernacle," verse 5, "when the Almighty was yet with me." Job is reflecting upon a time in his youth when his children were young. Verse 5, "when my children were about me." His children at that point were not out in their own homes. They were not grown. They were not adults and having parties in their own homes. Job is thinking about a time when he was a younger man and his children were in his home and about him. He says, "at that time," verse 6, "in my youth," my young adulthood with a young family, "when I washed my steps with butter and the rock poured me out rivers of oil. This is a way of expressing Job's prosperity in times gone by. He was apparently very prosperous as a young man. Butter was sometimes used for the purpose of anointing feet, probably for comfort and health, but you had to be a pretty wealthy person in order to have enough to put butter on your feet. And instead of water coming out of a rock, he says oil, presumably olive oil, was coming out of a rock. He doesn't mean that literally. He's just expressing how prosperous he was. It's as if things were coming out of the rocks. And so he says, as it was when I went out to the gate through the city. Here we find how well respected Job actually was. Verse 7. When I went out to the gate through the city, when I prepared my seat in the street. In ancient times, men conducted their businesses often in the gates. In this case, Job had a seat in one of the streets in a public place. He would receive merchants and conduct transactions of business right there in the public place. He says in verse 8, the young men saw me and hid themselves. Young men were intimidated by Job. He was so austere, so wise, so prominent. You know, it's the young men were just hesitant to approach him. They didn't want to perhaps sound ignorant or something along that line. Even the aged men showed him great respect. In verse 8 it says, and the aged arose and stood up. Verse 9, the princes refrained talking and laid their hand on their mouth. The nobles held their peace and their tongue cleaved to the roof of their mouth. Government officials even were intimidated by Job, so much so they were afraid to speak in his presence. And Job says, back in those days, people actually listened to me. Verse 11, when the ear heard me, then it blessed me. And when the eye saw me, it gave witness to me. Job reflects upon a time when people actually listened to him, when he spoke, unlike his friends now, these three friends, there were many eyewitnesses in those days to Job's wisdom, and he'll have a little bit more to say about that later. Job says, I did a lot of good things back in those days, and he's going to list some of those things for us. He says in verse 12, because I delivered the poor that cried. Poor people, those who were afflicted by poverty, weakened by their circumstances, and wretched and lowly in human society. He delivered the fatherless, a way of expressing, the term fatherless is a way of expressing that these people are orphans, not just that they don't have a father, but they don't have any parents at all. He delivered him that had none to help and who presumably could not help themselves. And the operative word here is that he delivered them. He gave each of them a way to escape their dire circumstances. He delivered them. That's what the word delivered means. He gave them a way to escape their dire circumstances. This is a very godly thing to do because this is something that God does. You remember 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13? 1 Corinthians chapter 10 Verse 13. There is no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. Way to escape. And the word delivered fits right in with the concept of a way to escape. This is what Job did. He gave people a way to escape their dire circumstances. And back in those days, people were very appreciative of what Job did for them. Verse 13, the blessing of him that was ready to perish came upon me. In other words, the people that were ready to perish that he helped, after they were helped by Job, blessed Job for what he had done for them. And he says, I caused the widow's heart to sing for joy. There were those that Job helped that were at death's door unless someone had come along to give them the assistance they needed. There were widows that Job assisted that were in such dire straits, but when he delivered them and gave them a way to escape their dire circumstances, their hearts just sang for joy, and it was a blessing to Job. He says, back in those days, I had an excellent reputation. I put on righteousness, and it clothed me. My judgment was as a robe and a diadem. I did things right. I made sound decisions. And these two things were like ornaments in my life. He continues describing how he was helpful to people in verses 15 and 16. He says, I was eyes to the blind. In Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 14, it says that you're not to put a stumbling block before the blind, but shall fear thy God. I am the Lord. Job removed stumbling blocks or obstacles that limited the ability of blind folks from prospering in life. He was eyes to the blind. It says in verse 15 that he was feet to the lame. He removed impediments in the way of lame people being able to prosper in life. He says he was father to the poor. He provided means to the poor so that they could overcome their circumstances. And in verse 16, he says, and the cause which I knew not, I searched out. If there was a person that he heard about had a problem and he didn't know, understand the problem, or know how to fix it, he would do the necessary research to know how to deal with that situation. He went the extra mile to help the helpless. And he says, I punished the wicked. I break the jaws of the wicked and pluck the spoil out of his teeth. These were the people who had taken advantage of the people he was helping. They had taken advantage of the poor and the fatherless and the blind and the lame and the helpless. By breaking their jaws, Job is saying that he stopped their devious plans to take advantage of these people. And by plucking the spoil out of their teeth, Job is saying he retrieved the things they had taken from these helpless people and returned it to their rightful owners. He says, I was confident back in those days. Then I said, I shall die in my nest and I shall multiply my days as the sand. Job had expected to live a long life, a healthy life, and die at home, a peaceful death. Do you see the cat? There's a cat there by the little puddle. That's a pretty confident cat, isn't it? Walk past all those dogs. That was Job. He was confident. The things that would typically intimidate a person in life didn't intimidate him. He was confident. He was anticipating living a long life. He says in verse 19, "My root was spread out by the waters, and the dew lay all night upon my branch." Job speaks of his prosperity in this way, and it goes right along with Psalm chapter 1 and verse 3. "And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." My root, he says in verse 19, was spread out by the waters. That's the tree planted by a rivers of waters. He was a fruitful tree. He wasn't subject to seasons and fluctuated in his productivity. He was always prosperous. This is what was true in Job's past life. Theodore Beza, theologian from the 1500s, paraphrased this particular part of Job's statement in this way. He said, "For downward the root of my good and upright conscience was spread out by the ever-flowing waters of God's bountifulness, with which it was daily watered, and upward the boughs growing out of this root, to wit, my children, my servants, nay, flocks of sheep, and in a word, my substance, were washed with the celestial dew from which from heaven fell down upon them, so that by this blessing of God they were marvelously increased." I think that pretty well says what Job experienced as a young man. Job chapter 29 and verse 20, he says, "My glory was fresh in me." In other words, the honor and respect that he had from others was fresh and like new every day. And he says, "And my bow was renewed in my hand." Have you ever used a bow, shot an arrow? Now, the compound bows they make these days don't count, because they make it a lot easier to pull back. But what do they call it? A recurve bow, plain recurve bow, can have a pull of either, I guess they call it a draw weight, 40, 60, 70 pounds. In other words, to pull it all the way back to its full length, anywhere from 28 to 30 inches, it would take 40 pounds pressure, 50, 60, 70 pounds pressure to be able to pull that back. Now, it takes a little bit of a strength to do that. If you're a real weakling, you're not going to be able to pull that string all the way back. And he uses this as an illustration. "My bow was renewed in my hand." The word bow here is referring to the bow that you shoot arrows. That's the Hebrew word. So he's talking about shooting arrows, pulling the string back. That's how strong he was. He says, "I was respected in those days in that people actually listened to me." We had this before. He repeats it, verse 21, "Unto me men gave ear and waited and kept silence at my counsel." In verse 22, he says, "After my words, they spake not again, and my speech dropped upon them." In other words, after Job got done speaking, no one had anything to add to what he had to say. Once he spoke, it was done. People anticipated his words. In verse 23, "They waited for me as for the rain, and they opened their mouth wide as for the latter rain." Now, there was an early and there was a latter rain. The early rain came at the beginning of planting season and was important for nourishing the seeds that were just put in the ground. The latter rain was important at the end of the growing season so that the crops could come to full fruition. And, you know, we see that here in the fields. If you don't have a good rain at the end of season, the ears on the corn aren't going to ripen full and give good ears and things of that nature. So the people waited for the early rains to begin so that they would be sure the seed they planted would take root. And the latter rain they welcomed, and the people would open their mouths. Did you ever do that when it's raining? Go out in the rain and open your mouth, let the rain drop in your mouth? It was a way that people in those days would express their happiness that the latter rains had come. They go out, open their mouth, and let the rain drop into their mouth. So this is what Job uses for an illustration. The people anxiously waited each day to hear Job expound upon some topic with his wisdom. And when Job would speak, they would open themselves to receive Job's words with gratefulness. Now, the next verse is kind of funny. If I laughed on them, they believed it not. Here's what I get from this. Job had a sense of humor, but he didn't tell jokes very often. He was mostly serious, and so when he would tell a joke, they didn't know how to take it, because he was always serious, and then he would say something funny, it's like, am I supposed to laugh? And then they would see, verse 24, the light of his countenance. They could look at his face and they could tell that he was funning with them. And so they cast not down. In other words, after they realized Job was actually telling a joke, they wouldn't criticize him for what he had said. Job, what are you? Oh, it's funny. I get it. And he would surprise them with his sense of humor. Isn't that an interesting aspect of what Job's talking about here? He says in verse 25, people look to me as a leader. I chose out their way. Job devised plans for people so that they would know how to accomplish their tasks in life. He says, I sat at chief, as chief. He was at the top of the chain of command, and everyone else answered to him. He says, I dwelt as a king in the army. It was as if he was a military general of top rank. And then there was the other side of him, as one that comforteth the mourners. At the same time that Job was a profound leader, he had a compassionate side to him. He was able to ease the discomfort of those who particularly had lost loved ones. Memories are a good thing, especially memories of the goodness of the Lord in times past. One of the values of such memories is this. If God could do that back then, that gives me confidence that God can do it again. I think Job was having difficulty with that. He was having difficulty connecting the goodness of the Lord in the past with the possibility of the goodness of God in the future. In fact, in Job's life, God will do it again in the future. He'll have an abundance. He'll have children. Everything will be great. But Job couldn't see it. He was so close with these memories of the past. If he could only say to himself, this is what God can do. I just have to hope in what God will do. Think back to some good thing that God had done in your life in the past. Things may seem dim now, perhaps, in some of your lives. Dark even. But think in the past of something good that God has done. And let that assure your heart that God is still capable of doing good things. Just wait for the goodness of God to come in your life again. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your blessings in our lives. The goodness, the good things you did in the past, many good things you've done in our lives. Encourage our hearts to see that you haven't changed at all. What you've done before, you can do again. With that, give us hope for what is yet to come. I pray in Jesus' name, amen.